This is the Good Glow podcast with Talia Heffernan. This season, I've teamed up with ReproMed, Ireland's leading fertility clinics. Having been through the process of IVF myself, I understand how daunting and difficult a fertility journey can be. With clinics in Dundrum, Dublin and Rahoon and Galway, their world-class team offer the empathy and compassionate care needed to help and support you. Dr. Hans and his incredible team have high levels of success due to their experience and expertise. With 120 years combined fertility experience and passion to help their patients grow their family. You can visit ReproMed.ie, which is packed full of information on IVF, egg donation, fertility preservation, and so much more. Hello and welcome along to my podcast with Talia Heffernan, Ireland's supermodel. I was absolutely hooked the whole way through this podcast. I'm not going to say too much about it. Her story is absolutely fascinating and so inspiring. Talia, we all know, has moved to New York, a new chapter, a completely fresh outlook on life. She's been an international model since her school days. And just when she was ready to give it all up for a quiet life in Ireland, everything changed. IMG, the agency with Gigi and Bella Hadid on their books, came knocking on her door, and so a new adventure began. Talia moved to New York last year, but quickly realized that this new adventure needed every part of her. In order to give this her best shot, Talia knew she needed to be single, focused, and all in. With those really tough decisions came a lot of soul searching, a trusting of the universe, and finally one thing that she had been missing all along, the joy button. I cannot believe how this season has panned out in terms of the theme. The theme of self-love, a focus on our own individual journey through life, and not to feel guilty about that. With Tara, Emma, Millie, Dr. Shefali, and now Talia, I hope this season has reminded you, no matter if you are in a relationship or not, one of the most important relationships we'll ever have is the one with ourselves. Now, speaking of going on a journey, the September reset starts this week. I'm returning as your coach for 14 days with hacks, tips, and a plan for the last 4 months of the year. If this sounds familiar, I'm in a fog, I don't feel like myself, I don't know where I'm going, there's never enough time. This is the challenge for you. It's 14 days long, less than 10 minutes a day at any time of the day that suits you, with daily coaching, visualizations, meditations, and so much more. One of my favorite reviews from last year was one that said, I did this every morning in my car before work. Our early bird offer is ending really soon, so head over to thegoodglow.ie or click on the link in the show notes. Talia Heffernan.
Hi.
Oh my God, welcome to The Good Glow.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm absolutely thrilled to be here.
Your name has come up so many times in the office when I'm on Instagram and I'm looking at your life in New York. I'm like, when is going to be the right time for Talia? Reached out and you just happened to be home.
Yeah, no, I mean, when you reached out, I was like, this is the perfect opportunity. And also, I get to hang out with you. So it's great.
Thank you so much. And I think when it comes to models, say like Kate Moss or someone, we're not used to hearing her voice or hearing about her life. And I'm fascinated by your life. So many people are. And we followed your journey to New York. You are so much more than a pretty face, even though having a pretty face would be enough. But you have such a beautiful way with words. You put incredible energy into the world. So tell us about your life as it is now.
Well, my life as it is now is just chaos in the best way, but also it can be very overwhelming. So I moved to New York. It'll be a year on the 7th of September. And I've been home back and forth a good bit since then, but everything has changed. The person I am now compared to the person I was when I went to New York is completely different. So I'm still kind of getting my head around that as well. I'm like learning a lot about myself, figuring out who I want to be as opposed to just who I am. So that's, I feel like New York's given me that opportunity where I've kind of been forced to grow and change. But for the first time, I get to make choices that I probably didn't have to do or didn't have the opportunity to do within Europe or wherever I went to travel. New York has this incredible energy that I think it either accepts you or rejects you. And I'm not entirely sure if I've been accepted or rejected, but I just keep going. I'm kind of trying to let the universe guide me a little bit for the first time. And it's not easy, but I want to say it's a fun journey, but like, ask me, depends on what day you ask me.
Well, because that's really the message in my book. Who am I becoming? Mm. And to be excited about that, and also to see that, you know, you're so young, and just to have that self-awareness is so incredible. I wish I had it in my 20s. You're still in your 20s, right?
Nearly. Yeah, I'm at the little end of it. I'm 28. Yeah. So
who I am becoming, and being open to that, yeah, and seeing where the universe takes you, and trusting the universe, because it's so hard to do that sometimes, yeah, isn't it? To give the power over.
100%. And like I said, it's a test. So for me, I'm trying to trust the universe, but it does often feel like there's more negative than positive, or I feel like I'm being pushed back constantly. There's been a lot of stuff happen this year that has really made me reanalyze my life. And when I look back on it, I'm like, maybe it was a gift, but at the time it didn't feel like one. Mm. So it's been a really, really hard year for me. But like I said, I've always believed that hard times just, you know, create stronger people. And that's been my message throughout my career. I mean, I've been doing this for 13 years now, 12, 13 years. So I've had a lot of setbacks. I've had a lot of no's. I've had a lot of knockdowns. It's created the person I am now. And despite how hard it's been, and this year, like I said, has been very hard, I wouldn't change it, because I know that I wouldn't be this person sitting in front of you now talking without those difficult times. And that's when I look at the universe and go, oh, I get it now. Mm. I see what you were trying to do. I mean, I didn't like you at the time.
Yes.
Could have maybe done it a little bit nicer. You could have softened the edges a little bit of that. But also, I think the universe only gives you what it believes you can battle through. And I just feel like I've got a few battle scars, but scars are a wonderful, you know, a wonderful story.
And it's so true that in those hard times, in those really testing times, that's when we see the biggest growth. Mm-hmm. Jerry says it, are you revolving or are you evolving? Mm. So the last year of your life, you have been evolving.
Yeah.
Tell us about those hard times. Do you mean in the modeling industry, or is it kind of everything happening at the same time?
It's funny because you say evolving and it does actually feel like growing pains. It feels like, I remember when I was a teenager growing up, I grew really quickly, and I remember physically feeling my legs hurting from growing pains. And it's the same kind of pain when you evolve mentally. Like, it hurts. When I first moved to New York, I left behind everything I knew. All of my comforts, all of my safety nets, everything. And I went on that flight with zero idea what I was doing. So I was given a contract. I'd signed with IMG, the biggest agency in the world. They had sent me this incredible email being like, we back Oprah, we back all these people, we think she's going to be a star. And I remember my agent here sent it to me, and I sent it to my family, and they were like, frame that, because it's a really amazing thing to go back to when you feel, you know, stuck or you're afraid or you don't think you can do it. And I did. And that's kind of what pushed me to go. I was like, if they believe in me, I need to believe in myself. And I went, and it just didn't go as I'd planned, but that is life. Mm-hmm. And I also have done this before. I've traveled a lot with my career, and there has been so many setbacks. And that's why I think I was kind of reluctant to go to New York, and my energy maybe wasn't as positive as it should have been. Like I said, I left everything behind. But when I got there, I realized that I was going, I knew I was going to change. I had to I've never lived with girls before. I've lived in model apartments, but I've always lived with boyfriends. I've always lived with family. I've always lived with people that were like a safety net, a comfort. I think everyone who moves to a big city like that has these shocks in the first few weeks where you're just like, oh, I just have to go and do this. I've never done this before, but I have to go and do this. So, I mean, in terms of what happened, in terms of the difficult things that did happen, they were both within my career, but also within my personal life and what I was doing and going through. So I guess they meet in the middle a lot, because my career is so personal, because it's about what I look like. It's about my body shape. It's about me physically, not mentally or not what I can give. You know, I always say, like, I don't get paid to be funny. I just am.
I love that.
But it's, you know, so that definitely, it, the line blurs between what I'm going through mentally, you know, with your own struggles. You know, I'm like, oh, you know, I don't feel good today. But me not feeling good today and then going to a casting is, I don't look good and I'm having to go and pretend that I think I do, or, you know, show up hoping that this client will book me when I don't feel good about myself. So it's been, I mean, again, I'm used to it, but New York kind of shone a much more direct light on my insecurities and my fears than other places have done in the past. And I think probably a lot to do with that was because I went, you know, both feet in and went on a wish and a prayer. You know, it is a pipe dream. Everyone says if you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere. And that's an amazing statement, but the pressure that that also brings is immense.
Especially, I think, when you are in the public eye.
Yeah.
Because my best friend, Audrey, she went to LA to act. And
I love Audrey.
Oh, she's amazing. Great. But everyone knows Audrey went to LA to act. And what we were seeing online was maybe, you know, I was on the phone to Audrey, my best friend. I knew the loneliness that was setting in, the rejections of the castings, and amazing things happened for them over there. But it definitely was really, really difficult for them. And I know Audrey felt, I can't come home until I make
it.
Is that pressure there for you?
100%. I also think that's a real Irish thing. Like, we have this pig-headed stubbornness that I'm like, I will continue. I will absolutely go to the breaking point because I want to prove to myself that I can do this as well as others. And there's definitely, there is a pressure there. I've lost a lot of it as I've gotten older, thank God, because I'm starting to realize that not everyone's going to love you and you just have to deal with that. But people pleasing is such a huge part of my job. And like I said, I've been doing this a long time. Like my first interview, I was 15 and it went from then on. So like, not only have I evolved in my career and had to deal with my ups and downs, I feel like a lot of Ireland have as well. They've seen me grow. They've seen me go through, you know, ups, downs, breakups, my family breaking up, weight gain, weight loss, agency changes, country changes. And it's, I always feel like I'm being questioned somehow. You know, what's she doing next? What's she up to? Who's this? How is she doing this? How is she managing this? So not only am I dealing with that mentally in my own head, going, you're not doing what you should be doing, or you're not living up to your own expectations. I often sometimes wonder, am I living up to Ireland's expectations of me? Mm-hmm. You know, from day one, it was like our first supermodel, schoolgirl supermodel, all these headlines. Obviously, there's been amazing Irish models as well, but that definitely feeds into my fears of, you're not just letting yourself down, you're letting down your country.
Enormous pressure.
Yeah, it is enormous pressure. And like I said, I definitely have that stubbornness and that willingness to really push myself. And I definitely struggle with coming back from that and going, are you doing too much? But I definitely have burnt out a couple of times because of that. So I understand entirely what Audrey's going through or went through, because I feel the same way in New York. And every small victory I got that the press did see, and they were like, this is amazing. They didn't see the 45 absolute horrors that I went through before I got to that point.
And tell me about then, you get this letter and it's telling you, you know, come out to New York. How did you make the decision to go? And what tell me about the flight. Like, what's going through your mind?
So I did New York when I was 17, straight out of school. So I went, did our 6-year holiday. Then I went to London for 2 months and I was in the model flats. Came home, I hated it. I was working quite well. Like, I did ASOS, I did Misguided, I was doing these things, which back then was like, oh my God, Tally's doing that. And I was like, I'm doing that. This is mad. And then I came home from London. I didn't hate it, but I definitely was struggling. I had a boyfriend at the time. It was long distance. I had hamsters who I was obsessed with. And I'd FaceTime my boyfriend being like, I don't want to see you. I want to see Otis and Prince. Please. Please show me my hamsters. So I know. I'm like, any sort of animal I'll latch onto.
I actually don't think I've thought about hamsters in years.
I literally just screenshot two pictures of them that I found on my phone to have in my like recent camera roll so I can look back at them. I'm mental. So I did 2 months or so there, came back, and then I had Rebecca had contacted my agent, he had contacted agencies in New York, and they were like, would you come over? And Rebecca was like, you're at your peak, you finished school, you don't have that anymore. You don't have to, you know, fight for time as much. So I was like, okay, I'll try. And I went over, and now it was, I wasn't going over to work. It was going over just to test the market to see if people would be interested. So I actually went over, and 2 days in, I missed my debs. And I remember the girls FaceTiming me from the bathroom, and I was sat on the couch that I was staying in. I was staying in my sister's friend's apartment in her bed, and I was FaceTiming, and I had been in the agency beforehand, and they had basically, they'd stood me up in a bikini in front of everyone and gone, this needs to go. This needs to go. You need to get a trainer. This is the trainer we work with. You need to pay for him twice a week, and you need to lose this amount of weight, and this has to go down to this measurement.
Oh my God.
So I remember I was drinking a green juice so vividly that I'd made of just like, oh, I don't know what it was. I had no nutrition, no knowledge of nutrition. Like, at that point, I'd ate pizza every day. I had done my leaving cert, and I was fueled by Red Bull and Domino's. Mm. So this was such a big change. And being told by this, you know, huge agency that this is what you have to do, I was like, okay, well, they were like, soups and juice is what you need. So I was drinking green juice. All the girls were in their frocks, laughing and smiling and drinking. And they were like excited about the boys they got to take and all this stuff. And I just remember sitting on the couch being like, this is the life I've chosen. Why did I do this? But also in the same vein, I was like, but this can bring me so much. Mm. And I knew even at that age that it was going to be hard, but I was just going to have to make sacrifices. And then I did, I think, 2-3 months there. It was very challenging mentally because the weight was a big thing. I mean, I was a size 6 when I went over. I was a size 4 when I came back. You know, I was very small. And I remember my parents seeing me for the first time, and they were like, oh, what's happened to our daughter? Like, it was a real shock for them. Mm. The next time I went to was Australia. Did London, then I stayed within Europe then for a while. And throughout this, I was in relationships. I've always been in relationships because I guess, like I said, my life is chaos in my career, and I always thought of relationships as comfort. So I used them as like a, it kind of like it softened,
yeah,
softened
like
it for me,
grounded well.
Me a little yeah. bit. So when New York came knocking, I had gone over and met agencies because I was there on another job. And I remember Rebecca was like, you have a day off, go and meet these agencies. And I was like, I don't want to do it, Rebecca. I don't want to travel anymore. I had the house, I had the dogs, I had the boyfriend. And I was like, I don't know if I want to try. I've been doing Germany a lot the year before, back and forth, and it really tired me out. And I was like, I think I'm done. And Rebecca was like, just try. And she knew by me, like, Rebecca's an amazing woman. She's been my agent for 13 years. And she knew by me that, like, even though I was saying these things, I wasn't done. The comfort of Ireland was brilliant, but I don't like comfort. I don't want to be comfortable, not yet.
Yeah. And then it's also to ask yourself in that moment, what am I actually tired from?
Yeah, exactly. There were so many things mm-hmm. that could have been the answer. So I was like, oh, go on then. Final nail in the coffin. That was my mentality. I was like, I'm going to go around. Again, never had any confidence. Going to go around to these agencies. They're all going to say no. And I'm going to be like, great. They've answered the question for me. I'm going to go home and figure my life out and do something else. So this is 4 years ago. And then I went to about 4 agencies and it was a resounding yes. Rebecca was like, they all want you, but IMG have sent us like a specific request saying we brought her in. With these agencies, you meet one person whose job is to literally just meet prospective models and say yes or no on the spot. But they also don't really say yes or no. They'll be like, well, okay, keep in contact. But I met JD that day, and he brought me from the meeting into the office, introduced me to every single agent. And then at the end was like, I usually can't do this. Like, I can't really just say yes without showing you to our president, but we all love you. I love you. We would love to have you. And I was like, oh, I don't know how to handle this. I don't know what to do. So I was like, thank you so much. And then I called Rebecca and I was like, what just happened? I don't know my own name. This is insane. I remember walking down, I think they're on Park Ave. So I was like walking down past Bryant Park and I was like, what is life? What is happening? This is not what I wanted, not what I expected. Mm. I think deep down, I wanted that, obviously. You want that validation, but it wasn't what I expected. So I was in shock. And then Rebecca said, we've just got all these emails through. Everyone wants you. You need to make a decision. So there was a time difference. I hung up and I remember just being like, oh, what decision? But IMG just made this really strong impression. So I signed with IMG. And prior to signing with them, they'd sent this letter basically being like, this is why she should be with us. We love her. She's amazing. We think we can, you know, reach for the moon with her. So I went with them. And then again, that letter had fueled something in me that I hadn't had naturally, this confidence. So I remember my family at the time were like, Tally, you're 27. Because this, I got my visa, but then COVID happened. And then I was, you know, COVID gave me a bit of a fright. I was like, do I want to travel? I had those 2 years to think about moving to New York and being like, am I going to do it? Time is passing. What's
going
to happen?
You had all of this time in your comfort zone to get really comfortable.
And also this, it was looming. It was like this cloud, not necessarily a dark cloud, but definitely a cloud being like, you're going to New York eventually. You've paid for your visa. You've said yes, but we just don't know when it's going to happen. So then once COVID ended, my visa was approved, but I had to go and do my embassy things and all this. So I remember going through the motions and everyone's like, that's so exciting. And I was like, is it? I wasn't excited. I was terrified by it because I knew deep down, like you said, this is another time you're just going to, you know, throw your comfort away and have to deal with a situation that is going to challenge you. So that was on my mind, got my visa sorted, got my everything sorted. And then I remember JD message being like, you were the best interview I've ever had. And he'd been working with IMG for like years.
So this is like Gigi Hadid, Bella.
Yeah. Kendall was with them for a while. They have Elsa Hosk, Lily Aldridge.
Wow.
They have huge people on their books. And not only in the modeling industry, like they do sports. They do all these, you know, these are people that we all look up to. And when he said that, I was like, what? That kind of gave me this like little push. Mm-hmm. And then I booked my flights. And it felt, again, the universe was like, okay, let's see how she goes. And when I got to New York, I don't remember much of the flight. I do remember sitting in the terminal and just having to go back and forth in the bathroom from just panic and tears and didn't like, I remember saying goodbye to my family and my boyfriend at the time and just being like, what are you doing? This is going to be so hard. And it was. But then I got on the flight and I sat in the flight and I had my meal and then I obviously didn't sleep. I just sat there with my legs shaking for the whole thing. But then I landed and I was like, you've done it.
Yes.
You've done the hard bit. This is going to be hard now, but getting on that flight was the hardest part. Saying goodbye and leaving, going through security was my final goodbye. Now I just have to do the work.
A short break to thank ReaperMed for supporting the Good Glow again this season. A fertility journey is so personal, and ReaperMed pride themselves in taking real, compassionate interest in your care. Having spent time with the incredible Dr. Hans and his team, I know they will provide you with everything you need to know about treatment options in a safe, supportive, and honest environment. ReaperMed has invested significantly in the past 3 years in their state-of-the-art laboratory to give their patients the best chance of success and are trusted and recommended by maternity hospitals and GPs throughout Ireland. Visit ReaperMed.ie for more.
So getting the train out of the station is always the hardest bit.
Yeah, exactly. And I did it. And then, yeah, it was tough. I remember meeting my agent the same day I flew and JD at the time. And he was like, we met another person. He was like, she's amazing. She's the best interview I've ever done. He kept saying that to everyone. And I was like, shut up. I don't want to live up to that. I'm jet lagged. I haven't slept in 40 hours. I don't know what you're saying. But it was great. Then I went and met my other agents for the first time and they were great. And I had this renewed sense of self. I was like, I've done it. I can do this. I'm going to do this. And then the universe hit me with a million other things. But I guess the thing about my job is it's adrenaline and you get these rushes of positivity and then you get these massive rejections.
Mm.
And it's like this roller coaster I'm on and have been for so long that I don't remember getting on. I don't remember signing up for this, but I can't imagine my life without it either. So
Do you think that you're grounding you over the last year? You have grounded yourself.
Yeah.
As opposed to relying on other people I don't mean grounded in an egotistical way. Mm. I mean, as in you are home to yourself now, as opposed to needing someone else to feel that comfort.
So I didn't have that for a long time. I always needed something or someone or validation for my whole career. And I think that's why I struggled so much. Moving to New York, though, tested me beyond my limits that I had to be that person for myself.
Mm.
Because I'd call home in fits of tears and they're like, I don't know what to do to help you. I don't know what to do because it's such a difficult industry to give comfort to. Like, you can't really give me advice. Nobody knows how to give advice if they haven't been there. And even if they have been there, everyone's model journey is so different. So I struggled so much with finding other people to help. And then a lot of things happened in my life that more comfort was taken away. I lost my home. I lost a lot of things. And I was like, okay, what do you do here? You can't turn to anyone. You have to turn inwards. You have to turn to yourself. And the last 6 months, 7 months have been a lot of that, where I've just had to be like, you're on your own and you can do this. You've always done it on your own. You just didn't think you did.
Yes.
You just pretended you didn't. You put weight into other people and other things because that's an easier way to do it. But the last 7 months has been a real journey and a lesson for me to be like, you can't rely on anyone else. You have to do this yourself. And it's been a really, it's been very eye-opening. And I think that comes back to what I said to you. Like, when I say I've changed as a person, I don't know who I was up until like till last year. I mean, I loved that journey for me, and it's an amazing thing. And I get to look back with a lot of fond memories and kindness and fondness, but who I am now is just a completely different person.
There's so many things coming to mind. The first thing is, I think in my 20s, I too looked for comfort in relationships. Mm. And then when I met Jamie, he is obviously the person that I have loved the most in my life. Apart from Pia, I'll just say
of
that.
Of course,
because. But I did say to Jamie when we were engaged, like, if you left me, I'd be okay.
Mm.
And that was the first relationship where I actually felt that, like really believed that, and even though he was the most important to me.
Yeah.
I also knew that, like, I'll be fine. I can survive things by myself. So it's interesting that it seems you two have got to that place where you know that you'll be okay.
Yeah. And again, I had to be. You know, I lost a lot of things, and I ended up breaking up with my long-term boyfriend. And I went back to America after that happened, and I just was like, you're on your own, but you made that decision, so you have to follow through. And I knew, like you said, I didn't know innately, I knew that I'd be okay. And I got, you know, it's never easy leaving, you know, family, friends, boyfriends, homes, everything. Like, my home now is a storage unit. You know, I really have removed all of my safety nets.
Why do you think that is?
For me, I think I've always straddled. I've had one leg in Ireland and one leg wherever I went to. So I always had a boyfriend or something here, or responsibilities here, or family here, or something here that kept part of me back here. And I always had then my other leg, which is my physical self in another country. But it was like this, it was almost like a leash. Like, I couldn't keep going. But I never looked at it like that until I went to New York, and I was like, hold on. This city needs everything from me.
Wow, this makes so much sense.
Yeah. Like, this city, New York will not give you what you need until you give her all of you. That's what I've learned. And I had to do that because, again, I'm 28. I'm not a young chicken. I'm not a spring chicken who's going to be able to keep doing this forever. To start my career in New York, I have to start from scratch. My 13 years mean nothing. All it gives me is the ability to pose. That's it. So I was like, either I do this now and I give it my all, or I will resent it my whole life, and I'll resent myself, and I'll resent the people that I felt held me back. So I had to do the thing that was the hardest, which is to let go of those people. And then if I have resentments, if it doesn't work out, it's on me. I don't want to hold resentment towards anyone else.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I had to be like, okay, if you're going to do this, you have to cut everything. and you have to do this.
So what's it like then when you go back and you're starting this new life, you know, me, myself and I, which is incredible. Like, what are you thinking when you're looking in the mirror like the next day?
I didn't look in the mirror the next day. I remember just being like, what have you done? Because it was, like I said, my whole life, I've had to have something else. I've had to have that leg back in Ireland. I've had to have something else to hold on to. I've had to have someone else to go to. And this is the first time I was like, I woke up and I was like, okay, now what? Now what do? You work on yourself? Do you go into the agency? Do you just go inwards and think about things for a minute?
Yeah, self-sabotage.
Self-sabotage. And I did all of those things. Mm-hmm. I did everything. And it was such a challenge, but again, it just changed my perspective. And I think that I needed that. And it like, when I say that was the hardest thing, I also had gone through the first 6 months of my life in New York, I didn't work a single day because I went bleach blonde. My hair was so damaged, I couldn't do anything. And then we didn't like the bleach blonde. So I had to change it to like a natural balayage. But the person who did that destroyed it. And it was like a Halloween wig for a few weeks because we had to find a specialist then to rectify that. And that took about 6 months. And it was, so not only was I going through work issues because I couldn't work, I also was going through family issues, my own self-confidence issues, living in New York, not working, not making money, spending all of my savings that I'd saved to buy my own house one day, which was just dwindling because living in New York is outrageously expensive. And I think I got to a breaking point. When I came home, I was like, New York's not working for me. That's how I felt. But I couldn't let go. My family back here were amazing. I had a home. I had my life here. But I'd be falling back into what I know and what was comfortable and what I didn't want to do. And I had to make, so not only was the decision hard in that I had to let go of everything, I was going back to a very uncertain situation that I wasn't sure I was going to work at all. And there has been a lot, thank God, there's been a relief in that and I have been working, but I left IMG. I had to leave them. So I left them 3 weeks ago and I've had to sign with a new agency. Like, a lot has happened and I don't talk about it because it's really hard to explain everything that's going on. So it's sometimes easier just not to do it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's been a ride.
It's another new chapter.
It is. It's like, my God, I have a book already and I'm only 28.
And I think, well, I was saying to you there before you came in, because we got a little bit delayed this morning and I got this extra 20 minutes. And I was like, this time is a gift because I now can get into a proper mental state. Didn't meditate this morning. I now have 20 minutes to myself. But that, what happened to your hair, maybe gave you 6 months to go sort out everything. Maybe you were just putting a mask on or putting a plaster on. It stripped you down to the very core.
Yeah. And you know what else it did? It made me need to enjoy life. Because my whole life I've worked and I put friendships aside. I put social life aside. I put everything to the wayside to work. I thought that the only reason we were put on this planet was to work and to succeed and to impress other people from the age of 15, from the minute I started. And when I got to New York, I was in this apartment with Irish girls who had other Irish friends who were like, let's go out on Saturday. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I can't really drink. I need to watch my weight. I need to do all these things. But then when I wasn't working, what else was I going to do? Sit at home? And I would have done that every other city I went to. Like in Australia, I spent a lot of time sitting in bed, miserable. And I got myself into a very depressive state. And that has kind of been my go-to. You know, that's what I've always done. It's my MO. But the girls wouldn't let me do that. They were like, you're not staying at home. You live in New York. You only live once. Come out and enjoy yourself. So for the first time in my life, in my career, I put work second because I was forced to, like you said, I had no choice. And I actually started to enjoy my life. And I actually started to get out and do things for myself that I enjoyed with friends, going out drinking. And, you know, obviously I always went out, but it was like secondary. I was like, I'd do it after work. I'd make sure work was first and foremost. But when I didn't have work, didn't have that responsibility, I got to live. And that has also changed me hugely, because I now have better work-life balance where I love going to work, I love doing work, but I want to see my friends. I want to do things socially. And I've never really wanted to do that before. So it really has, like, I've flipped three, like, I'm learning who I am because I've changed and my surroundings have changed so much. My life has changed so much. And I'm still not at the end of that journey. I don't think we ever get to the end of that journey, but yeah, it's an amazing thing. It's a very scary thing, but it's an amazing thing.
Wow. And listen, I could sit here and talk to you forever, but this is just, it's such a perfect point, I think, to bring the conversation to a close. It's a new chapter, a lesson in hitting the joy button, how important that is. Yeah. But I cannot let you go without asking you, I always say to people, that you don't have to be a mum to a child to be a mother. Yeah. My dog Piper filled such a huge, huge hole in my life when I couldn't have my second baby. And now Pia calls Piper her sister. I mean, that's really important.
Yeah.
And you too, like, I was looking at your Instagram and I think your four highlights are all about your dogs.
Yeah. So honestly, hardest part about this whole thing was leaving them behind. And to be honest, the reason I didn't want to travel anymore was because of them. So I put myself second. When I went to New York, I was on one job. I was like, I'm going to be gone for 4 days. It'll be fine. But prior to that, like I said, I'd been going to Germany a lot. So I'd been back and forth, 2 weeks in Germany, a week home, another 2 weeks in Germany. And it was chaos as usual. But my boys suffered so much when I was gone. And my partner at the time was working a lot. So it was just a huge shift for them that they weren't comfortable with. And both my boys are rescues. And my only thing in my heart and my life was that I didn't want to make them suffer anymore. They came from hardship. I took them on and I gave them everything I could possibly give them. And I didn't want to make them suffer anymore. So that's why I went, okay, I'm not going to travel anymore. I'm going to stick in Ireland. I'll find a way to be happy because I want to make them happy. And sorry, when I went to New York, saying goodbye to them was like, I couldn't. I shut down. And obviously saying goodbye to everyone else was really hard, but there's no vocal where I can't tell the boys I'll be back. Mm-hmm. I can't vocalize like, this isn't forever. I'm going to be back and forth. I'm going to see you again. We'll figure this out. And I came home after the first 4 months. And Leonard's a social butterfly. He was kind of okay, but Charlie was in bits. He was shaking for about 10 hours. He was like, what? You're back? You're here? You're still here? You're alive? So that was it really hurt me and it hurt him. So when I came back in May after I had separated with my boyfriend, I didn't see them because I only had a week here. And I did that because I couldn't put him through that. It wasn't for me. I would do anything to see those boys. I would drive to the ends of the earth, but I couldn't put them through that for a matter of hours. So now that I'm home for a few more weeks, I'm going to be able to spend that time with them again. And again, like, people are like, what have you done with them? Why would you not bring them to New York? And it goes back to, I got these boys from a hard place. I've given them a good life. We gave them a good life. Like, you know, we did everything we could to give them a good life. If I brought them to New York, I would be reverting them back to a miserable place. And that's not fair. And I have to put myself and my emotions and my feelings of wanting to be with them to the wayside. That doesn't matter. These boys and their life and how they end their beautiful life is more important than me missing them. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's been really tricky, but they have an amazing life here. And Ryan has been incredible with them. And it's the hardest thing, not having them. But I know now I get to see them again. And that is like, that's what got me through. I've never known myself to be callous in any way. And I am as callous, but I've had to really remove them from my mind when I'm away, because I know they're safe. I know they're happy. If they weren't, I couldn't.
Yeah.
But I know they're okay. And I just had to take them away from my brain because I would have destroyed myself. It is, like you said, I don't have children. I would love to one day, but these boys, anybody who knows me and who knows what I was like with them, they realize like they were my everything. And they were the one thing that I was going to, that was going to stop me from living my life and fulfilling my career. But everyone around me was like, they'll be fine. You just have to do this. And I finally listened. I didn't want to, but I did listen. And it's been, like I said, I removed so much from my life and I really had to change everything to do that. But I'm lucky that I still have them in my life and I can still see them. And that makes it a lot easier. But yeah, it's been a ride.
And that is the greatest gift, I think, as a mother, is that you could give to, you know, whoever you're caring for, is like self-sacrifice, that you would prefer to suffer than for them to suffer. And, you know, we're not friends in terms of we don't text, we're not that close, but even from the outside in, I can feel and see that love. Every single part of you, I can see that.
Yeah.
Well, your honesty today has been inspiring. Oh, I just to get that insight into your life is incredible. Thank you so much for opening up and bringing what you did to the Good Glow today.
Oh, I'm honored to be here, and you give such a safe, beautiful platform for people to speak about their lives and experiences. So there's nowhere else I'd want to do it. So thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you so much to Talia. You know, I was driving home from recording this podcast and I was sitting in my car thinking, I didn't ask Talia why she left IMG Models. What was I thinking? So I text her and she said, this is just me turning the pages in my new chapter. This is my new beginning. And what a perfect answer. I'm excited to follow Talia's journey. And if you want to send her a message, I've linked her Instagram page in the show notes. So if you are inspired to start a new journey with yourself, or even be open to a fresh start, a new chapter, why not join the September Reset starting this week? You can head over to thegoodglow.ie or click on the link in the show notes. Thank you to ReproMed for supporting The Good Glow again this season, and I'll talk to you next week.